gentlemen, on behalf of Indian Airlines and Captain Das Gupta, we welcome you on board our flight IC-408. We are about to take off for Calcutta. Will you kindly fasten your seat belts, keep your seats upright, and refrain from smoking while the no smoking sign is switched on. We hope you enjoy your flight. Thank you.
So hi everybody, I'm Yusuf Mustan, and welcome to the first episode of the Middlers Podcast. In this episode, we'll tell you a little bit about ourselves, but most importantly, tell you about why we're making this podcast.
Hey there, this is Bill Alexander. I'm the co-host of the podcast, and glad to be with everyone. So Yusuf, quick question. As we do this first episode of the podcast, what is a middler? Why did we name it this? What is the intent of the podcast? Kind of what's going on there?
So it's really about you and I coming together, Bill, and talking through our personal journeys and our connection to South Asia, your connection to India, my connection to Pakistan, and how that's become a deep and internalized part of us, being exposed to those two particular parts of the region. And of course, for me, it's a huge interest in the region in general. So whether it's Bangladesh or Nepal or Burma or Sri Lanka and a whole host of countries in that region, I think it's so rich in culture and history and language that's always fascinated me and it's become a part of me. And so I really wanted to be engaged in conversation, quite frankly, and quite simply, about that part of the world.
Yeah, that's a good match on my side. Why don't we say a little bit about ourselves and that background that you described there?
I think that's a good idea. For me, my formative years were spent in Pakistan, and I lived in two different cities in Pakistan. I lived in Islamabad, and I was born in Lahore, and my grandparents are from Karachi. And I came to the United States when I was 13 years old, and I didn't realize till later on, till about college, how much those formative years had impacted me and how much of a longing I had to connect to that side of that part of me. And I did that through movies, through art, through language, and wherever I got an opportunity to connect with that part of my heritage and my past, I did. How about you, Bill? What has your experience been like, and how come you have this deep connection to that part of the world?
Yeah, it's a great question. So demographically, I'm a bit of a oddity in that the story is quite ordinary, actually, for an American. So I'm 40-something. I'll just leave it at that. And you know, I grew up in New England. I now live in the southeast of the U.S. I'm a business professional, does IT consulting currently, and went to school in Ohio. So had a lot of, I guess you would say, ordinary experiences growing up in the U.S. And then in my professional life, I would say starting in 2006, I spent time in India. From a professional perspective, my work had an increasingly large focus on India from about 2001 onward, working in IT in a Fortune 50 company. That's pretty ordinary in terms of the time and what was happening at that time. And then a role that I accepted in 2006 actually took me to India and made some business trips there, was working with a couple technology firms, Infosys and Tata specifically. I suppose I can mention them by name. And through those business trips, just increasingly found myself enchanted by India in a lot of ways. So one business trip would be all about business and, boardrooms and planning and PowerPoint decks. And then another business trip would be all about that, and I would stay a little bit longer and do a side trip. And then eventually a third business trip would be multiple weeks, and then I would stay for an extra week and travel around on my own. And next thing you know, one thing led to another, which I think through the podcast I'll have more occasion to describe, but the family and I ended up moving to Hyderabad in Andhra Pradesh in the summer of 2007, and we stayed a full 2 years. And I think as a family, my wife and I have three boys, and as a family, the experience was deeply transformative and was one that sort of recast who we are and how we understand ourselves, but most importantly, how we understand the rest of the world. I don't think it would be too surprising or too scandalous to say that an ordinary American upbringing breeds a certain distance with the rest of the world. And not all of that's always healthy, right? There's a lot of places that Americans find confusing and intimidating and so forth. But, you know, I guess our experience would seem to be a testimony to the fact that the world is beautiful and complicated and fascinating, and certainly our time in India taught us that. So that's kind of a little bit about what I've been through and what I've seen.
Not to mention the fact that I think people listening to our podcast would find really interesting that aap Hindi bahut achi tarah bol lete hain.
Haan, main koshish karta hoon. Meri Hindi kabhi kabhi shuddh Hindi hai, lekin kabhi kabhi meri Hindi bahut kharab hai, but I'll do my best to try and keep up.
And you definitely floored me, Bill, when we went to a restaurant and you started speaking Hindi with a waiter and he was completely mesmerized by this American Caucasian man speaking to him in Hindi and really fluent Hindi. And then Bill floored him, the poor guy, even further when he asked him, when Bill asked him, well, where are you from in India and what language do you speak? He said Telugu. And then Bill, you went off in Telugu.
I'm a lot less capable in Telugu, but yeah, I
sounded very convincing to me.
Part of the immersion was linguistic, and that's really neat. I forget which French philosopher said it, but it's a phrase that basically goes, once you have two languages, you have two hearts. Wow. And I actually speak more than just two, but certainly Hindi is one that I'm pretty proficient in because of that immersion experience. So,
The idea of the two hearts takes me to our title, which is The Middlers. And to me, why that resonates with me is I do as well have two hearts. One a South Asian heart and the other a Western American heart. And I'm somewhere in the middle. That's why I consider myself a middler. I don't really, traditional South Asian media doesn't really resonate with me. I don't really relate to it as much. And for my connection with South Asia, I found that online or otherwise, I couldn't find many forums where I could discuss my middleness with other people. And I'd like to discuss aspects of South Asian life, whether it's social or political or cultural or linguistic, economic. I'd like to discuss all those in a way that not a lot of forums provided for me. And that's how this name came up, and Bill, you and I agreed that we would find a way to find a way to fill that void in the middle between our two hearts.
Yeah. You know, when you brought up the title, it immediately appealed to me. And as I often do to figure out if words are, you know, taking root or if someone had thought of this, I was surprised that the middlers as a phrase to reflect people whose hearts are dually tied to two cultures and two worlds had been grabbed by anyone, and no one had. But I think the phenomenon of middlers, I think the number of people whose connection straddles two or more cultures is growing. While I was in India, I would meet people, and as we'll discuss in a certain podcast, one of the discoveries in India was the joy of meeting people vastly different from you, but almost a corresponding joy of connecting with people that are like you, that ability to speak your language and feel that connection. And I met people over there that early in the conversation I thought were Americans, and I guess in some sense they were, but they had spent virtually their whole life in South Asia, right? That were, you know, they looked a lot like me, but their mannerisms and their affinity and their understanding was really rooted in South Asia. And that phenomenon is just only going to grow, and it's probably a lot bigger than we all give credence to. So, yeah, I too am a Midler, and it's a phrase and a concept that really resonates with me.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, the other aspect that we really have in common, Bill, is the fact that we think that as the world has become becoming smaller, and we're connecting with more and more people who are not on the surface like us culturally, and in terms of ethnicity or background, socioeconomic status, or histories or geography, we're embracing the fact that the world is getting stronger, smaller. We're not getting intimidated by it or uncomfortable. You and I are very excited at that prospect and are very comfortable in the world getting smaller.
Yeah, I find it a fascinating phenomenon and an undeniable one. And, you know, I think we have to acknowledge for a lot of people the question of a smaller world even has cosmic significance, right? A lot of people equate it with the arrival of something very unwelcome, right? But I think, you know, for me, I would just say it is what it is. You know, if you rewind back only 2-3 generations and you look at the workplace that we're all in, if you look at the fact that people of such diverse backgrounds are interacting in ways that were inconceivable not long ago, right, on both sides. There are, you know, when you walk through Mumbai or Gurgaon or Hyderabad, there are now and there will forever be American business people there. That just was not that way a mere, 20, 30 years ago? Certainly not in the numbers that you see it right now. So, I mean, the world's getting a lot smaller, and I think acknowledging that and figuring out how, if not just survive in it, but thrive in it, is an imperative for every thinking person, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that in South Asia in general, what we call the Desi diaspora, their Desi, for example, they have an MTV Desi now. NPR, National Public Radio, just did a program on this concept of the Desi diaspora, where people of Bangladeshi, Indian, Pakistani, Nepali descent are part of a culture that speaks the same language. I think Urdu or Hindi, however you want to label it, is the fourth most prominent language in the world, after Mandarin, English, and Spanish. So this language, which is Desi, and whichever flavor you want to put on it, is so prevalent, and it's creating this culture. So currently, Bollywood movies are being marketed not just to people in India, but people all over the world, all over the Western Hemisphere, in Africa. It's they're helping in formulate a Desi culture, and so are a lot of the other media outlets and shows and music that's coming out from South Asia. And it's reflective of this convergence into Desi-ness. It's also reflective of the progress that's being made in that part of the world, and also some of the conflict and friction that's arising as a result of this convergence of so many people and melding into one culture.
Yeah, we would be remiss to describe it as only a fascinating and peaceful transition. There's definitely a lot of, a lot of folks who are butting up against each other in ways that they haven't before, as well as converging comfortably. So it's kind of interesting. And, you know, So I think by virtue of our names, people may have picked up, and our descriptions, people may have picked up that you and I are of different backgrounds in terms of our, you know, ethnicity. And so from one side where I sit, you know, I grew up in a New England town, and as I think back about it, at least in the particular school that I went to, there's really only one guy from South Asia, and his name was Danny Thomas. And I was always confused why he had that name, because, you know, and it, you know, I think it was in the last 5 years I figured out, oh, he was a Keralite. You know, it finally clicked with me. I thought maybe he had come to the U.S. and just dropped his Indian name and so forth. You know, so that exposure was minimal, and, you know, simply a brown face in the midst of a lot of white faces, candidly, if you rewind back 35 years. But to exist in the world that we exist in now, I'm in a workplace in technology in down here in Charlotte, where routinely any setting I'm in is what, 30 to 50% folks from South Asia. And, you know, that's gratifying to see that. It's gratifying that the development that can take place in South Asia by virtue of those business connections exists. And on the side of Americans who don't have that direct connection, I mean, just the increased focus on yoga, the increased prevalence of vegetarianism, I think that inevitably, if you find yourself on the ground in India like we were or not, I think a modern American is inherently going to have some part of their makeup directly influenced by South Asia. And that's neat. I mean, I think that's a neat thing.
I agree. And you and I have talked about this before. There's the South Asia of where you would travel to that region and get exposed to South Asia and India and Pakistan and Bangladesh. But then there are the South Asians who live in the United States. And you and I have talked about this before, how growing old in the United States is for a South Asian is a very different experience than growing old for them back home. And the nature of societies, collectivist versus more individualistic societies, the transition here and lack of a social network. And for people who come here for the first time being exposed to the United States, I mean, there's a whole migrated population that came in the 70s, and there was another migration in the 90s. But for people who just come now and they are exposed to the United States for the first time, their exposure is different. They're coming with a lot of confidence. They're coming with the knowledge that there are temples and mosques and other institutions here to support them, that there are other South Asians here. But the experience of the people who came in the 60s and 70s was very, very different. And as those people are aging here today, I'm fascinated by what they must be experiencing.
Yeah, you know, I think as we discover our audience, our audience discovers us, I think it's going to be incumbent upon us to meet with some of those folks. As you know, on a personal level, and I've learned through so many of my colleagues, when Indian parents come visit their children, or Pakistani parents or Bangladeshi, when they come and visit their children in the U.S., Canada, U.K., it's never for just a quick visit, right? It's often for months at a time. In some cases, there's extra structures put on the property, and the parents move in, and they grow old here. And it's kind of interesting. One, you know, as I occasionally snap out of my day-to-day routine and just take a step back and look at things. Right when we got back from India, my wife and I were driving down a road in Charlotte. And, it's a very car-based city and not a lot of foot traffic, although some. And on a nice day, we had just gotten back from India, and we were driving down the street near our home. And there was an older woman in a sari, probably a grandmother, and living here in Charlotte. And judging by her dress, I think she was relatively newly arrived. She was all alone, and she was walking on a street all alone. And there was really nobody in any direction, right, except those of us in cars. And we just looked at each other and kind of smiled, and my wife said, I wonder what she's thinking.
Yeah.
Because only a few months prior, we had been in Hyderabad, and we were in just a collection of humanity that was, it was everywhere. It was in front of our car, it was next to our car, it was behind it. There were people as far as the eye could see, and it was one of those deals where you had to go real slowly through a crowd. And we were sitting there, and my wife said, you know, the only time you would ever see this in the U.S.? I said, what? And she said, a fire drill.
That's right.
Where, like, a building was emptied, right? And there was that many people all in one place. And those two things that we saw were only separated by maybe 2 to 3 months. So, you know, it's they're different worlds, and they're coming closer together, and they're pretty discordant in some ways, and they're complicated. But the connection's vital, and it's a good one. And I hope the podcast can definitely attract people who are thinking some of the same thoughts and want to explore what this connection's producing.
Hear, hear. And I hope we can do that for all of our listeners. And for those who are listening, please stay tuned for more podcasts. And if you're really into the topics that we went through, that Bill and I just talked about, stay tuned as we publish more podcasts and get you really interesting stories from South Asia and explore our South Asian nests, or shall I say our Desi nests.
Excellent. And to you and to all the listeners, I'll end the podcast with a combined Shukriya and Dhanyawad. Thanks, Yusuf.
Thank you, Bill.